more real fake facts from the Geek Out Heroes.
Real fake fact. Off-white flannel makes you less visible.
To robots.
To robots. And so do hot pink shirts.
Yeah, that also goes along with the real fake fact that yellow pants are anti-inflammatory.
Wow, even the fire doesn't want them.
Real fake fact, fuck stands for fornication under consent of the king.
I thought it was under command of the king.
He forces you to do it, and he'll stand over you and watch.
Do it.
Do it now.
And then just,
it is my will.
And then just look at you angrily until you do.
Oh, man.
You will fuck for your country.
In 2011, a crack podcast unit was sent to Colorado Springs by a court of snowflakes for being too good for the rest of the world. These men, and sometimes ladies, promptly escape from the world of monotony to the podcasting underground. Today, still wanted by the SJWs of the world, they survive as podcasters of no fortune. But if you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to the Geek Out Heroes.
Welcome to Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
And this week we don't have a whole lot to talk about, listeners, so hopefully this will be actually a pretty quick podcast.
Sorry, Steve.
Miles and I have been playing Generation Zero, and it is a $40 game, and based off of what other reviews out there have been kind of saying of, you know, it's not perfect. It's got its flaws. It definitely has some bugs. It's not like, what's funny is everybody keeps talking about how buggy it is, and in reality, its bugs aren't nearly as prominent or glaringly bad as other games that I've seen that have gotten rave reviews, one of which has been Division 2. And where like Division 2 actually has areas where we like look down a hallway and it's freaking out, turning white, and then see through and showing other portions of a map to the point where we just go, I'm just not going to go in there. So, but overall it's not that bad. It's a really good game. I shouldn't say really good. It's a really fun game. Just because it kind of gave us exactly what we were expecting it to be. It's a game that you can go through this massive open world, explore. You're getting a little bit of story here and there, and yes, while you do have to read and you have to do a lot of reading in order to uncover some of the story, I can't really get mad at it because it's still telling a more intriguing mystery that you're trying to solve. Kind of like, it's almost like you yourself are a Hardy Boy,
yeah,
in the apocalypse. You're trying to figure out what the fuck happened. So that's intriguing to me. That's fun. And just the enemy designs, the enemies are just freaking great. Like, I can't say much for the human animations. The human animations are really lackluster and are just kind of like, but that's not really what I play in the game for. I'm playing the game because the animation for the robots and the robot designs themselves are just badass.
Yeah.
But.
And we found out kind of early on that concussive force is very much a thing in this.
Oh, yeah. Concussive force kills.
It's not something you see terribly often in games, and this has it, and it feels like it's dialed up to 11. It's great, though. I mean, who doesn't love more and bigger explosions?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, like, the fact that, like, a car explodes, like, ended up exploding because we were shooting its windows out. That brings a new realm of 80s car explosions, where instead of the car has to have a car wrecker in order for it to explode, or a bullet through the engine in order to explode. Just anywhere in the car can cause it to explode. So it made me laugh, like, initially when especially because it was so surprising that it happened. And then I started thinking about it, like, oh man, this game is so 80s, it's awesome.
Yeah. It straight up flings your ass across the map. Fucking great. I got chain reactioned by four cars.
Yeah.
I was nowhere near them, and I still got fucking rocked.
Yeah. While some people have said, like, they don't really care for it because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of boring for them, listeners, for us, the exploration aspect of it, the fact that you are going through this huge open area, and the enemies are persistent, so, like, when they show up and you do damage to them, they still have the same amount of damage done to them. And a lot of the times it'll respawn them or something. You know, we keep assuming something is in the level causing a lot of these things to be repaired and walk around for us. Because we'll come back to areas and they'll be damaged or something like that, and they're still walking around in an area that we thought we cleared. But because of that, it's created, like, so many different moments of holy shit. And
yeah. There
it's just a, that part is just a blast. So while, you know, like, keep in mind the kind of gamers we are, we enjoy those kind of things where it's just about the exploration and that's it. So, you know, kind of take that with a grain of salt. If, you know, when we say for me, it's a buy.
Yeah. And, if you like games where you can explore and then tack on blowing up robots, it's a great game.
Yeah.
especially for $40.
So,
most of its glitches are visual, and they're not, you know, game breaking by any means most of the time. I will say that as far as, like, the level quality, like, they did a fantastic job with environment. The weather effects are amazing. Yeah, you run into a lot of, like, floating items. You know, I mean, a lot of floating items, pretty much anything and everything.
Yeah, we did have that grass that we could all walk through and it would eject us.
Grass, lawn chairs, trash,
Yeah. Rocks,
buildings.
Yeah.
There was one building that was partially sunk into the ground that we couldn't get into, even though they put a lootable item inside the building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not without its bugs, but for $40, we're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Biggest gripe is the inventory system.
Yeah. Inventory system's not great. The fact that, like, sometimes when you go to change your weapon, it chooses the same weapon you already had up. So that doesn't always work. Yeah. Like you said, it's got its little bugs, listeners. When you play it, like, if you do play it, it's... Think of it like you're paying $40 for an early access game, because it feels like an early access game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is that, you know, it'll never increase in price.
And the game's never crashed out on us.
Yeah.
Never really booted us from anything.
Wow. I'm,
you know, other than for the update.
I'm sold just because it doesn't crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't experience any real rubber banding or lag.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty impressive as far as its functionality goes.
Yeah. I think the only really gripe we have while playing together is that it doesn't save the progress. I should say it doesn't save the safe house progress unlocks for the other player in their own map. So like if you jump in by yourself,
it doesn't save the map progress and sometimes. It doesn't save the mission log progress.
Yeah.
Which we found with one or two missions so far.
I will say, like, listeners, a sphincter clenching moment for us was there was an area we were trying to get through. And this was kind of the moment for me that it was just like, this game is officially the game that we will be playing for probably about the next year, just off and on. because of one, how we realized how massive the map actually is by the time we got to this one section. But there was this one portion where we were trying to get past the land bridge, and they had enemies in front of us that were pretty powerful at the time for us. And we were at, for the moment, trying to figure out good ways to kill them. So we just had decided that we were going to lure them away from the area. And while we were luring them away by essentially letting them see us and hunt us down, which the AI for hunting down your character is really advanced compared to a lot of other games. Yeah. So they started hunting us down, and we are going farther back up the land bridge from where we were coming, or from the direction we were coming from. And suddenly we get an indication behind us that something's approaching us from behind. And the game's really good about letting you know when there's something that sees you or is going to be close to seeing you, because it gives you a white marker, which lets you know there's something in the area. And it goes yellow when they suspect that you're there. It goes red when they absolutely know where you are. And also we get the marker that's white. We turn around. There's another group of robots coming up behind us. And it's the same kind that we were trying to lure away to try and kill. And that was this oh shit moment. So we kept playing this game of cat and mouse of just ducking and trying to get away and running for short distances and then ducking again and hoping they didn't notice where we were at.
Yeah.
While they quickly pursued us. And eventually we did get him. We did get him farther or far enough away so we could take out a bunch of the enemies that were in the area and slowly break them down. But after that, we made our way farther inland, and they kept coming. they kept pursuing us. The group that we almost ran into that was coming up behind us kept walking across the land bridge towards where we were at and pursued us all the way to another location. So that was just kind of cool. Like I haven't seen AI that was that kind of, you know, neat to deal with in a game in a long time. In this case, the AI doesn't really know where you're at, but they're going in the general direction where it thinks you are.
Oh yeah, they'll take off sprinting in the direction they think you are.
Yeah. What's really funny, I love watching the hunters run, because they put that blade down. And then they run like an anime character holding a big ass sword behind them. It's really fucking funny. I have to say, we recommend it, listeners, if you're into those kind of games and that's what you're kind of looking for. If you were really disappointed by other games that have come out that have been kind of in the same vein, even, you know, Fallout 76, it's a better Fallout 76 in reality. It's kind of the same kind of idea of you go out and just explore and you see what's out there. But the fact that it doesn't crash and the fact that we haven't run into game-breaking problems, and mind you, listeners, we're playing on the Xbox One X, so we don't know what everybody else's experience is, but it runs really well on that. It seems to be doing really well. I've seen some PC people say that it's pretty buggy for a PC game, but it hasn't been game-breaking. It's good to hear that we had a game that cost us $40, cost us less than the $60, and it works.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And this was a game that I was literally 50-50 on. I was in the middle of typing out to the rest of the cast that I was going to wait on it. And I saw, a developer gameplay trailer that, you know, explained a few things. And I was like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. We'll don't regret it one bit. It's been fun.
Definitely.
And as much as I love the idea of creating a setting that we've really never been in, and this is in Sweden and an archipelago of Sweden. I still kind of wish they had broken that immersion a little bit and just made it English
a little bit. It would make things a little easier, especially for me, because when the radio broadcasts go off, I have to wait until they're done so I can go back and read them in the
transcript.
Yeah, the transcript log. Because when it's going at the bottom of the screen, I'm like, I have no idea. I can't keep up with it. I'm like, I'm missing a lot of this. So I have to go back. I have to read it. I'm like, oh, that's what they were saying. Okay. And the story definitely leaves a lot open to your own interpretation of what's happening. Because if you don't find all the same things together, or you don't get to look at all the same things together. You end up having like a different idea of what's happening. Like, you know, I came away with what I was coming away with from the story was a little bit different than what, you know, Miles was coming away from the story. And Miles had a different view of what was possibly happening. We, you know, granted, listeners, we're so far away from being able to get to the end of the game that we've played for at least 20 hours, I would say.
And yeah, we haven't even covered maybe 20% of the map.
Yeah, we only just pretty much finished the lower portion of the two little island formations at the bottom of the map, and there's this huge chunk that's at the top, and we're like, we didn't realize it until way later in the game. We were like, man, this place is pretty big, but the map doesn't look that huge. And I suddenly realized, oh, I'm not zoomed in. Or I'm zoomed in, I'm not zoomed out. And I zoom out, I was like, holy shit, this map is huge. So it's a very big environment, very unique for the game. But yeah, I have to agree, Miles. I wish that even though it's very unique and they stuck with that immersion, I kind of wish it was a little less at this point.
Right. In all reality, I probably could have dropped $60 on it and I would have been okay with it. But I'm happier that it was only $40.
Yeah, I think my joy of the game is much greater given the price that we paid.
So yeah.
Moving on to other things. Apple made a ridiculous announcement at GDC that we didn't get to cover. They decided that they were coming out with the Apple Arcade, and it's where you pay it's the weirdest thing because some of the games that they were talking about like are free to play. But you pay, like, for Apple Arcade, you would pay a subscription fee per month, and you get to, like, basically you get to experience all these different games that they'll have available to them on different Apple, that you can play them on all your Apple devices. And while in concept that sounds like a good idea, at the same time, when you see the lineup and you see what they're doing, it sounds really, really dumb and completely pointless. It's, you know, Apple saw, like, hey, Google's coming out with their own streaming service. That's what we should do.
Hey, listeners, just want to inject this really quick. We are very aware that it is not a streaming service that Apple's looking at making. We know that it is actually just a download service, but they're treating it kind of like we're going to be the Netflix for games for your Apple devices. And that's really what we're getting at.
Some of the titles they showed looked kind of unique. And they're supposed to be exclusive only to the Apple Arcade, but there's not enough there to make me ever pay Apple $10 a month. Apple Arcade sounds like a stupid subscription process that you'd have to go through as well. It just sounds really dumb. I don't understand this. They are trying to be their own Netflix of gaming, and it's just one more service that I don't need or want. And I don't think I don't see a whole lot of people buying this. I should change that. I see the Apple Lemmings buying this because there's a lot of them.
They figured out that the Lemmings that buy all of their product,
yeah, throw Apple on it and they'll buy it.
Will buy anything without question, even if it's that stupid.
Yeah, I got to say really quick, I've been loving the Apple iPhone commercials that I've been seeing on Hulu because they've all been about the Apple iPhones, about privacy. Listeners, I'm going to tell you something really quick that you might not know about this. So Apple got rid of the thumbprint scan on your phone, and everybody was like, oh, well, but they gave you facial recognition. If you're looking at security for anything, facial recognition for security is considered one of the worst and most loose forms of security in the world. And every security firm will tell you this. In fact, a security firm that worked with Apple told them the same thing. But Apple got rid of the thumb scan. Why? Because they wanted to give you a bigger screen. And in the spirit of wanting better design or better looking design and a better looking phone, they took out security to make you pay more for a bigger screen. So what does that tell you about the company itself? Do they really care about you? Do they really care about what your needs are? Do they actually care about your privacy?
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
$1,200 a year for a new phone every year.
Apple's not the greatest company in the world. Neither is Microsoft, for that matter. Microsoft does a lot of bad things, too. But Microsoft doesn't try to prevent their customers from being able to customize their own computers and upgrade their own computers by soldering shit to the motherboard. So just going to point that one out. Anyways, moving on to other things. Unless you guys have anything else to bring up about the Apple Arcade thing. Like, I just thought it was the dumbest fucking idea I'd ever heard of.
Fucking dumb. That's all.
I was just going to say, all I'd have to say about it is, again, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's really stupid. Why? Why would you guys do this?
I guess you guys wanted to dip into the gaming industry, but
you missed your shot a long time ago. This is
a fruitless effort.
Apple, you missed your shot a long time ago when you were they had ducked out of the gaming market a long time ago. They actually created a console years ago. I don't know if anybody knows this. Apple? Way back. Yeah. There's a few videos there's actually several videos of it on YouTube, but they had actually created their own console. It was a prototype that they had created. It didn't do very well, it wasn't tested very well, so they didn't come out with it. So it was pretty much just abandoned right away. But they actually were thinking about getting into the console market, and they decided not to, which was actually probably a good call at the time. But doing this now is just sounds like such a dumb idea and so pointless that you're just sitting there, why? Like, why would you do this? Listeners, Google's makes more sense than this. And for us, Google's doesn't make any sense to us on a personal level for what we own and what we would buy today.
Google makes sense in that I can, I personally know people that could benefit from owning it.
And that's exactly it. Google's makes more sense because there's other people out there that would absolutely benefit from having Google service.
We don't, because we buy actual game systems when they come out.
But Apple's is just sad. It just seems sad. Like, why? Why are you guys doing this? Moving on to other things. The big news that we wanted to talk about, and this is why I held it off for the end of the conversation, listeners. So this will be the last thing we talk about. So if you don't care about anything else, we'll see you next week. Have a good one. But Gearbox was at PAX. So Miles, go ahead.
Yeah, Gearbox came out with their own conference and unveiled actually a pretty good handful of items. They talked a lot about their indie titles that they were coming out with or publishing, mm-hmm. For that matter. There's one coming out. It's called Risk of Rain 2. It actually looks really good for a co-op kind of looter shooter, but it's not Anthem or anything like that. It's a lower res, you know, kind of artistic style shooter.
It looks like it'll be a game that'll be good for like 20, 30 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looked like I was actually pretty interested in it. But it's only PC, so I won't be getting around to that anytime soon.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if that actually changes or how quickly that changes after it comes out on PC. If it does well, I think it's one of those things where they're going to test it out on PC, see how it does, and if it does well on PC, they'll bring it over to the consoles.
Right. Certainly not, like you said, not something I would drop $60 on, but yeah, it definitely looks like a $20, $30 game. Yeah. They got another one coming out. It's called Move Out. It looks like Human Fall Flat meets Overcooked, except you're moving furniture. I immediately saw this and I thought of playing it with Vargo and just yelling pivot over the mic the entire time.
pivot, 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 shut up, shut up, shut up.
Congratulations, you just sold me on a game that I have seen nothing about, and now I want to get this.
It looks pretty
Ross
fun.
Ross couch moving simulator.
there was a couple other things. Some of them I might be mixing up with the rest of the stuff that's come out during PAX and what's been shown at Gearbox. But the big thing, Borderlands 3 officially shown off. As their legitimate trailer, given that they had a ton of technical issues in their conference, they actually did manage to put out a flawless trailer video
Yeah, the technical issues were so bad, I almost actually felt bad for.
I was sitting there like, don't do it, don't. And like they told me it's fixed. I'm like, they fucking lied to you. It's not going to be fixed.
But there's a guy in the back acting like slow Mobius, making this thing slow down for you.
I think Randy Pitchford might be one of the most liked CEO/presidents of devs right now.
I still think he's a douche.
I don't know, man. He was really entertaining at that conference.
Like you can be a douche and entertaining.
And be entertaining. Yeah, that's true. I think there are a lot of people out there that were surprised, and generally I was a little bit from a PR standpoint. Of given the bad PR that's been taking place with the lawsuit and the counter lawsuit that's been happening with him and their former lawyer that was supposedly a friend of the company, all that other crap that was going on, and then there was the bullshit with the USB drive and how the lawyer that's insinuating that there was underage porn on his USB drive and. Randy admitted that there was porn on there, and he said that it was barely, or you know, what's considered barely legal, which would be 18. But it was this whole thing, like, you know, it's not a great thing to have that much negativity drawn towards one person within the company. So I am a little surprised that they didn't use somebody else to do the presenting for them. But yeah, I will say that on stage he was actually pretty funny. I mean, he did that stupid magic trick.
They were actually calling for him to come back and do magic while they were trying to work out the technical issues. He laid my fears to rest right away after joking about it. He came out and basically said that, hey, you know, battle royale games are really fun. And everybody goes boo, you know, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And he goes, but that is not what we're making. I was like, oh, thank fucking Christ. I was like, that was my biggest concern, especially after the teaser. I'm like, there's a lot of characters on there. I like, and a lot of them are very unique. I was like, I could see a battle royale game from that license, but I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one thing I kept waiting for while I was watching the trailer for it to pop up of, like, you know, a billion guns and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it's just like, and Battle Royale. And when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, thank you, God. Yeah, listeners, you may know this if you've been a longtime listener with us. We all differ in our gaming likes and dislikes. Borderlands, the original Borderlands, I should say, I was never really a big fan of. Borderlands 2 has kind of brought me a little more around. It's very creative. It's very fun, especially to play with other people. And watching the trailer for Borderlands 3, I sat there, I was like, this looks like a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It just looks like it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. You know, fuck guns with legs, we got you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, I never really played them that much. Like, I played the first one a little bit. I enjoyed it, but I didn't own it, so I never finished it. Two, I was told I should play, but I want to play the third one now. Just, you know, they have guns with legs. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It looks like you get a mech as one of the characters.
Yeah, you get them. Yeah, that looks like it's their special ability.
Interesting.
Yeah.
one of the characters. Okay, I got to ask you, the robot-looking character. Was it just me, or did that look like that might be what's, like, maybe something that Claptrap gets turned into?
What really, it made me think of, I'm trying to remember his name. I don't think it was Ajax. I want to say it was something else. He was a villain from 2 and a playable character in the pre-sequel.
Remember the one that was in the big robot?
Yeah. I know the name. I just can't think of it right this second. God, it's going to bug me.
That's
all right. That's what it made me think of.
Okay.
Or maybe even Gage's Deathbot, you know, if it, you know, kind of became sentient, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, that would make sense too.
It'll be really, really interesting to see the backstory on all these characters because they all look completely new.
Yeah,
they all look well designed though. So I'm really eager to see how it goes.
A lot of the old favorites are coming back for supporting cast.
I think, judging from the trailer, I think Lilith might die in this one.
That is possible.
Yeah. I mean, we lost Roland in the second one.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, guess I'm not going to play now.
Listeners, I'm screwing with them. The game's been out so long, I can't complain about spoilers, seriously.
So, yeah, I mean, I was absolutely thrilled, so excited. Really looking forward to finding out when the release date is for it.
And in addition, if you own the other Borderlands on current generation, they're going to be releasing a 4K pack for everyone.
Yep, free UHD update.
Yep.
So, and one of the things that was cool to see in the trailer for this time was Save the Worlds, meaning not just Pandora.
Yeah,
or the moon.
It's going to be multiple places.
So
multiple planets.
Yeah, I'm eager to see that. You know, I've been saying since 2 that they needed to explore elsewhere, and their answer was like, "Oh, well, we'll go to the moon too." I'm like, that's good, but it's not quite what I meant.
like don't get me wrong, it was a good step for us back in the 60s, but we kind of need to look beyond that.
There's supposed to be multiple vaults. The bad guys look relatively sinister. I think it's going to be kind of hard to outdo Handsome Jack. Dave is just such a good bad guy. I'm kind of curious to see where Claptrap falls in the game. I wonder if he's going to be an NPC again, or if he's actually going to be playable again.
That's why I was wondering, like, when they showed him, I'm like, I kept wondering, I'm like, I wonder if, like, somebody takes him apart, because the other characters, the other character that was the robot guy running around had the single camera in front. It's not the first time we've seen it in other robots, but it did make me sit there and go, how awesome would it be if somebody takes Claptrap, like, captures him, takes him apart, and turns him into that, and he's just a sarcastic ass the entire time while running around. You guys want to have a pizza party?
part of me wants him to be an NPC again, just because he has the best fucking lines in the games. But he was a lot of fun to play as in the pre-sequel, even though technically, if you want to be really technical about it, he wasn't actually in the pre-sequel as a playable character. You were a model of him. But I say it's Claptrap regardless. So
they're all Claptrap.
Yeah. Same programming. But it was fun. I watched that trailer, I don't even know how many times, at least 4 or 5 times that day. Just seeing what I could pick out and everything else. Tiny Tina's no longer tiny.
Nope. Is she still just as crazy? We hope so.
Judging by her new mask, probably. And we're supposed to know more April 3rd.
What's April 3rd?
Apparently they're supposed to come out with some more information, and I think that's when they release the first Borderlands remaster.
All right, well, listeners, next week I have... Well, hopefully Anderson will be here as well, and he'll have played it. But we'll have the Yoshi's Crafted World review for you, and we're hoping it's going to be better than the demo. What they showed off with that whole almost like serial killer vibe level left us really impressed and wondering why that wasn't part of the demo. But we're hoping that's going to be a little more indicative of what we're going to get for the rest of the game. So we'll have that for you next week, but thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter if you still have a Twitter account. If you don't have a Twitter account, good for you. We are really proud. Seriously.
You shouldn't be proud of me. The only reason I don't have one is because I'm too lazy.
I'm proud of you anyway.
All right.
Don't tell me what not to be proud of. Follow us on podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please tell your friends about us. It's pretty much the only way we get around. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Keep on geeking on. We're out.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head. He made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got, I want your money, not your life. But if you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him you could have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Taking money from the church, he stuffed his bank account with righteous dollar bills. But even still, I can't say much because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all seek out to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't no